At the dawn of everything, the universe should have been perfectly balanced. Matter and antimatter, created in equal measure, locked in a fragile symmetry. Each particle paired with its opposite twin, equal in mass, opposite in charge, poised to cancel in a flash of light. If the equations were all we had to go on, the cosmos should have dissolved back into pure radiation, leaving behind no galaxies, no stars, no beings to wonder at their absence. And yet, here we are. A universe woven from matter, not its twin. Antimatter, which should have stood as our equal, is nowhere to be found. Its vanishing is no trivial detail. It is one of the deepest riddles inscribed into the structure of reality. Why do we exist at all when balance seemed to demand erasure? Why is there something when there could so easily have been nothing? Physicists call it the matter-antimatter asymmetry. To a philosopher, it is a wound in the symmetry of creation. To a poet, it is a missing mirror, a shadow universe that should be here but is not. And so we begin with paradox. The laws of physics whisper symmetry, but the world we touch is born of imbalance. To follow this mystery is to find ourselves pressed against the limits of time itself, for in the equations of antimatter, the arrow of time is never quite what it seems. The puzzle of asymmetry. Physics tells us that creation should have been fair. In the first instance, after the Big Bang, energy condensed into particles of matter and antimatter in equal measure. Every electron had its positron twin, every proton its antiproton, equal and opposite, mirror and reflection, destined to meet and vanish in flashes of light. If this perfect symmetry had held, the universe would be silent. No stars, no galaxies, no life, just radiation echoing through an empty void. But the universe we inhabit is not silent. It is full of structure, from the fusion of stars to the complexity of consciousness. And all of it depends on a great absence, the missing half of creation. Somehow, in those first moments, matter gained the smallest of advantages, perhaps one particle in a billion, and it was enough to tip the scales of existence. Antimatter disappeared, and matter remained to write the story of time. This imbalance is called the matter-antimatter asymmetry, and it remains one of the deepest mysteries in science. Why did symmetry break? What hidden rule tilted the balance in favor of matter? Was it chance, a subtle flaw in the laws of physics, or something we have not yet imagined? The universe seems to whisper a contradiction. Symmetry is fundamental, yet existence depends on its violation. Like a river that flows only because its bed is uneven, reality itself may depend on this imperfection. And so we are drawn back to time. For the equations of physics, in their most elegant form, do not prefer one direction over another. They allow particles to move forward or backward, as if the arrow of time itself were a choice, not a command. But we, as beings of matter, live in a world where the arrow points one way. Perhaps antimatter does not. Symmetry and CPT. If there is one idea that sits like a quiet compass at the heart of physics, it is symmetry. The conviction that nature plays fair, that what holds in one place in time should hold in another, guides much of our search for fundamental laws. Among these symmetries, none is more profound than CPT symmetry. It tells us that if we flip three aspects of reality at once, charge, parity, and time, the laws of physics remain unchanged. Charge C, switch every positive with a negative, every proton with an antiproton, every electron with a positron. Parity, P, reflect the universe in a mirror, swapping left for right. Time T, let the movie of reality run backwards instead of forwards. Individually, these symmetries can be broken. We know that the weak nuclear force, for instance, does not treat left and right equally, an unsettling discovery that shook physics in the mid-20th century. Time itself, at the level of our daily experience, feels irreversible. A glass shatters but never reassembles. We grow older, never younger. Yet the remarkable claim of CPT symmetry is that if you perform all three reversals at once, the balance holds. The equations describing a world of matter moving forward in time are indistinguishable from those of antimatter moving backward. This is more than an abstract theorem. It reveals something about the fabric of reality, that opposites are not enemies but partners, bound together in a hidden order. Charge, parity, and time are not isolated features, but threads woven into a single tapestry. And still, the tension remains. If the laws of physics preserve this perfect balance, why does the universe we inhabit seem so unbalanced? Where is the antimatter that should mirror our existence? Why does the arrow of time feel so absolute to us when the equations allow its reversal without protest? It may be that the symmetry has not been broken, but only displaced, hidden in structures we cannot yet perceive. Perhaps it is layered, like two overlapping scripts of the same play, one visible and one concealed. Or perhaps, as we shall see, antimatter's role is stranger still, not erased, but threaded into a different rhythm of time itself. Feynman's diagrams, antimatter as time-traveling matter. When physics needed a new language to describe how particles interact, Richard Feynman offered a solution that looked almost too simple: little line drawings. These sketches, now called Feynman diagrams, look like cartoons: electrons as arrows, photons as wavy lines, collisions as vertices. But behind their simplicity lies a powerful grammar. Each line and crossing is not just a doodle. It represents a possible path reality might take. The strange twist comes with antimatter. In Feynman's framework, an antiparticle can be reinterpreted as an ordinary particle moving backward in time. This is not meant in a naive science fiction sense, but as a deep feature of how the mathematics of quantum fields is organized. Here's the logic. When early theories of the electron were written, they predicted not just the familiar positive energy states we observe, but also puzzling negative energy states that threatened to destabilize the theory. Feynman's insight, building on earlier work by Ernst Stueckelberg, was to reinterpret those strange states. Instead of imagining a sea of negative particles, you could treat them as positrons, the electron's antimatter twin, moving forward through time like us, but carrying opposite charge. In the diagrams, this reinterpretation shows up as an arrow pointing against the usual direction of time. Antimatter, as matter's mirror traveler, flipped not only in charge but in temporal orientation. This way of thinking is more than a mathematical trick. It exposes something subtle about the fabric of reality, that the line between matter and antimatter is tied to the line between past and future. A particle going one way in time is indistinguishable, at the level of the equations, from its opposite going the other way. To make this concrete, physicists use the diagrams as maps of events. An electron meeting a positron and vanishing into two photons can be drawn one way, while two photons creating an electron-positron pair is drawn another. Yet beneath the surface, both are simply different readings of the same underlying story. Shift the perspective, flip an arrow, redraw the roles, and annihilation becomes creation, past becomes future. Of course, in the laboratory, antimatter does not literally run clocks in reverse. Positrons curve forward in detectors, antiprotons age in magnetic traps, antihydrogen atoms fall under gravity. They march with the same arrow of time we do. But in the mathematical structure that describes them, the possibility of reversal is always there, a reminder that time's direction may not be as absolute as it feels in daily life. Feynman's reinterpretation is a hinge in our story. It suggests that antimatter is not just stuff with opposite charge, but a phenomenon whose very definition depends on how we orient time. The fact that physics allows us to swap particle forward with antiparticle backward without breaking the rules is a profound clue. The arrow of time is not fundamental in the equations. It is something that emerges, for us, for matter, but perhaps not for antimatter in the same way. And if that is true, then the missing half of the universe may not be gone at all. It may simply be traveling along a different rhythm of time. Penrose diagrams, mapping the stage of the universe. If Feynman gave us a language to describe the dance of particles, Roger Penrose gave us a way to map the very stage on which that dance unfolds. His diagrams are not about individual particles, but about the structure of space-time itself. A Penrose diagram is a kind of cartographer's trick. The universe is infinite in both time and space, but Penrose found a way to draw it on a finite page. By stretching and compressing the geometry, infinities are brought close, and the entire lifetime of a universe can be fit into a diamond-shaped sketch. In these diagrams, light rays always travel at 45 degrees, so the flow of causality is preserved, and we can see clearly what can influence what. Why does this matter? Because Penrose diagrams let us glimpse the architecture of possibility. They show the Big Bang as a sharp point at the bottom, expansion as the widening middle, and a possible end: heat death, collapse, or something stranger. They allow us to see black holes not just as objects, but as regions of space-time cordoned off from the rest of reality. But more than that, they allow us to imagine layers. If our universe can be compressed into such a map, what of its missing twin? Could there be another diagram, another causal diamond, unfolding alongside ours but oriented differently, perhaps with its own arrow of time? Penrose himself used these diagrams to argue for bold ideas, that black holes might leak information across horizons, or that the end of one universe could become the beginning of another. In the same spirit, we might imagine that antimatter, absent from our cosmos, was not destroyed but displaced, woven into a parallel causal structure that does not intersect with ours, except at singular points. In this view, matter and antimatter are not only partners in equations, but perhaps partners in entire universes. Two diamonds, layered like sheets of paper, separated by the direction of their temporal flow. Imaginary time and Hawking's vision. If symmetry is the compass of physics and Penrose diagrams are its maps, then Stephen Hawking gave us one of its most daring reimaginings of time itself. In our daily lives, time feels absolute. It flows forward with an arrow we cannot resist. Glass shatters but never leaps back together. We grow older, not younger. Stars burn their fuel and fade. They do not rekindle. This one-way quality of time, what Hawking called the arrow of time, feels so fundamental that we rarely question it. But in the mathematics of physics, time can be treated differently. Hawking proposed that when probing the earliest moments of the universe, we should not think of time as a straight line at all, but as something that can be rotated into a new dimension, imaginary time. Imaginary time is not fantasy, but a mathematical move. Instead of treating time as the ordinary axis we measure with clocks, you treat it as if it behaved like space. In this Euclideanized version of the universe, singularities that would normally break equations, like the infinite density of the Big Bang, smooth out into something finite and continuous. The sharp edge of creation becomes more like the curved surface of a sphere. No boundary, no beginning, just a closed geometry. In this vision, the universe has no starting gun. Asking, what happened before the Big Bang, becomes like asking, what is north of the North Pole? The question dissolves because the map itself curves back on itself. This was Hawking's boldest idea, that time, in its deepest essence, may not be linear but malleable. That the arrow we experience, past to future, may not be the only way time exists. Beneath our everyday march forward, there may be other orientations, other rhythms, hidden from ordinary perception. And here the resonance with antimatter returns. If antimatter can be interpreted as matter traveling backward in time, and if time itself can be reimagined as something that bends, rotates, or closes upon itself, then perhaps the missing half of the universe is not gone at all. Perhaps it is unfolding along a different axis of time, one not opposite to ours but imaginary to us, woven into a dimension our clocks cannot measure. A hypothesis, the shadow universe. What if the universe did not lose its antimatter at all? What if it simply slipped away into a different register of time? The story so far leaves us with a paradox. The Big Bang should have produced equal parts matter and antimatter. CPT symmetry assures us that the laws of physics are balanced when charge, parity, and time are all considered together. Feynman's diagrams show us that antimatter can be understood as matter moving backward in time. Penrose diagrams reveal that entire universes can be mapped as finite structures, layered and mirrored. Hawking suggests that time itself may not be linear, but capable of rotating into an imaginary dimension where beginnings dissolve. And there is another clue. In the early days of the universe, energy was not dispersed across billions of light years of space as it is now. It was compressed into a far denser form. According to Einstein's equations of general relativity, energy and mass warp the fabric of space-time. The greater the density, the greater the distortion. Around black holes, we glimpse this today. Space stretched, time slowed, reality itself bent. But in the beginning, these distortions were not local curiosities. They were everywhere. The fabric of space-time was vastly more malleable, pliable enough that entire directions of time might have folded, twisted, or rotated into dimensions unavailable to us now. Taken together, these clues invite a radical possibility that antimatter did not vanish in a cosmic imbalance, but unfolded into a shadow universe, layered with ours, yet oriented along a different arrow of time. Not opposite time, which would simply mirror our own, but imaginary time, a rhythm orthogonal to the one we inhabit. And if this were true, it would open unsettling questions. Imagine setting up a detector today, silent, waiting. Then tomorrow you prepare a stream of antimatter, encoding within it a pulse, a pattern, a simple message. If antimatter truly flows along a different arrow of time, could that signal arrive yesterday? Could the detector, already sitting in place, record the echo of something that has not yet happened? If so, what would it mean for causality, for choice, for freedom? Could the two universes, ours of matter and the shadow cosmos of antimatter, whisper to one another across the folds of time, leaving traces we have not yet learned to decipher? Could tomorrow reach back into today, reshaping what we thought was fixed? In this view, the missing symmetry is not broken, but hidden. Our universe of matter and forward-flowing time is only half the story. The other half, antimatter and its temporal twin, continues alongside us, evolving in ways we cannot directly perceive. The two universes touch only at singular points, the Big Bang, perhaps the hearts of black holes, places where the fabric of time itself bends enough for the layers to brush against one another. This is, of course, a hypothesis, not a claim of proof, but an invitation to reframe. It is an attempt to imagine that what appears as absence may in fact be presence concealed by perspective. Just as a map can hide entire dimensions by flattening them, our experience of time may conceal whole realms of being that unfold according to laws parallel to but distinct from our own. If so, then the shadow universe is not an abstract speculation, but the other half of a cosmic symmetry, carrying the antimatter that balance demands. It is not destroyed, not lost, but displaced into a different mode of time, woven into the malleable folds of space-time at creation. And perhaps this is the deeper lesson, that reality is always more than it seems, that absence may be another form of presence, and that the arrow of time we follow is not the only path the cosmos has written. Closing reflection. We began with a riddle. Why something rather than nothing? Why matter without antimatter, existence without its mirror? Physics offers us fragments of an answer. CPT symmetry, Feynman's reinterpretations, Penrose's maps of space-time, Hawking's imaginary time. Each reveals a universe more fluid, more malleable, more mysterious than our daily intuition allows. And yet the question persists, hanging at the horizon of our understanding. Perhaps the antimatter is not gone but hidden, flowing along another rhythm of time, layered beside us in a shadow universe we cannot yet see. Perhaps what looks like absence is only presence folded differently, concealed in dimensions our clocks and senses cannot touch. If so, then we live always in half light, walking the path of one arrow of time while another runs beside us in silence. The universe we know is only a page of a larger book, and the missing half, the shadow universe, may be whispering still. We cannot yet hear it. But the very possibility asks us to listen differently, not only to the noise of particles and stars, but to the silences between them. And maybe that is the invitation. To live not as though we had final answers, but as companions of a mystery still unfolding, a cosmos whose symmetry may yet surprise us, and whose shadows may one day reveal a deeper light.